ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Text number 8, huh? No. We don't have the marker here.
37.
Uh-huh.
1537.
Okay, we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 38, Nada's instruction in Srimad Bhagavatam. Text number 37. Translation. Let us chant the glories of Vasudeva along with his plenary expansions, Padumya, Aniruddha, and Sankarshan. Sri Chaitanya, Marabhisram, Shapitam Dina, Bhutale, Sarupa Karanaya, Nidakisa, Panantika. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Vitananda, Sri Adavita Gadara, Sri Vasari Kongu Vasavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare
Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in this section, mm-hmm. we're being recommended to always work for the pleasure of the Lord and to remember Him while we're working. So this is a mantra that we can chant to help us remember. Om Namo Bhagavate Tuvyam Vasudevaya Dhimahi Padumyani Rudaya Nama Sankarsha Shanaya Cha Sankarshan Sankarshan Aniruddha, Pradumya, and Vasudeva. These are the quadruple expansions. So, the chanting will help us remember. When we're taking someone's name, then the chances are to remember, of course, that person. Of course, we should try to improve the quality of our chanting. So that it won't be just something mechanical, but it'll be something that will evoke the remembrance of that person. So when we are chanting Hare Krishna, we should be thinking of Radha and Krishna and their forms and their activities and so on. This will help us to give up remembering mundane things. The mind is always accepting, rejecting, so thoughts are coming, bubbling up from previous experience we have. Since time immemorial in this material world, we've all had experience, sometimes good, sometimes bad. So these thoughts come up from the subconscious remembrances, and they can distract us, disturb us. We all have experience of that. So the idea is that we want to become remembering the Lord. So that's why this chanting is so valuable. And when we go more deeply into the chanting, then it'll be natural for us to always remember the Lord. We experience that sometimes in kirtan and japa. We find a nice groove there. We're able to meditate nicely, hearing the name, remembering the Lord. So this is the goal. We want to become 24 hours. That's the one Vedic conjunction is there. Always remember Krishna, never forget Him. But it's difficult to do, so therefore we have to practice. So in the beginning, we're practicing. At the end, we're also practicing. But at the end, that practice will become joyfully performed. It's not that the gopis stop chanting because they're perfect. They're also chanting, but they're not chanting out of duty, they're chanting out of love. So we should have faith that we'll be confident that we can come to that point also of actually loving God. He's worthy of our love, and the only reason we're not loving Him is because of we're loving other things. We have a loving propensity, but now our love is going to the mundane things, to sense objects attract us, and we become enamored by them. And we call it love. Therefore, sometimes Prabhupada says there's no love in this material world. That's a fact. There's no real love. We lust after something. We want for ourselves. We become very disturbed if we don't get it, and we become very determined to acquire something name, fame, prestige, objects, women, money. But these things ultimately don't bring us full satisfaction. Therefore, we have to detach ourselves and simultaneously attach ourselves. Detach from matter, attach to Krishna. It's a simultaneous process. Therefore, Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, it's a gradual process. And we should work from a place where we're strong, where we can continue the process. This point we've been making, that sometimes we see the devotees become a little fanatical, not able to maintain that, so then they give up everything. So that's not wanted. We should work in such a way that we can go on working for hundreds of years. But that requires our good, you can say, intelligence and be under good management, that we can go on like that, because this is really what it requires. It requires a determination that for the rest of my life I'm going to be taking this process. I'm going to be chanting Hare Krishna every day. This is going to be the most important activity of my life, to chant nicely, good quality time, good quality hearing and chanting. And other things will also I have to do to maintain my body or whatever. That will be there. We don't say that we should be impractical. We have to make the best bargain here in the material world. It's not a good bargain in the sense that Prabhupada used to say, best of a bad bargain. It's a bad bargain that we're in the material world. We have to die. We have to suffer. We have to experience some struggle to maintain ourselves. But if we don't over-endeavor for that struggle uselessly, for unwanted things, we live simply, then we can be making progress. From any ashram, from any position, we can be continually progressing and getting realizations, becoming more convinced and developing our faith, so that we will come to the point of, like the gopis, of just chanting Hare Krishna out of spontaneous affection. this is what we want. We want to chant Hare Krishna without any offense, with pure devotion. This is really the goal of our Krishna conscious movement. Which Prabhupada was asked, well, what is the most pleasing to you? He said to chant Hare Krishna. But that chanting Hare Krishna has to be done in a pure state, without any offense. So we're practicing how to remove those impurities. And then if we become too much disturbed by material conditions, then it becomes difficult. So that disturbance can come from within or from without. So we have to be careful. If we're being pushed by the genital, then we may have to accept the Grihastha Ashram. We don't deny that. But that should be done also in a proper way, with the proper woman, in a special consideration that this is some concession for sex life, because I'm not strong enough to go on as a brahmachari for the rest of my life. So I'm making some concession for my sex urge. And I'm going to use that sex urge in Krishna's service, produce good children. But I should never be proud and think, oh, I'm better than others, because I'm a fallen householder. I couldn't remain celibate, although this is really the ideal. So let me work from this position. Not that we should become artificial and, accept sannyas order at the same time having illicit sex. This is very disgraceful. Prabhupada was displeased with this mentality. When he saw sometimes the sannyasis were falling down, he said, let them be married. Why is this artificial? So that was Prabhupada's advice. To whatever position you're in, your mind has to be peaceful. If you're able to work, live with your mind, then you can make progress. Then gradually the mind will become your friend. But if the mind is so much rebellious in any position, then you won't be able to progress. I remember Prabhupada said like that. When your mind is so agitated, then there's no way for Krishna to be there in your mind. So we should find a situation where we can peacefully progress in spiritual life. Okay, any questions? It's not a stereotype, it's not mechanical. Every person is not going to fit into the same mold. Depending on our physical and psychological makeup, we're going to have to, you know, different things will make us satisfied, to subdue the mind, different circumstances. But if we have a little training, then we can see, well, what it is, what is my nature, and what will be, and what's the best thing. Like Bhaktivinoda says, we should become indifferent to things that we have no propensity for, that we're not good at. Not the envious, I'm not good at this, I'm going to do it anyway, just to, no. If we have no inclination for something, then we should become indifferent to it. Let others do it, and not be envious of them, even if it's an important thing. Like somebody may be a kshatriya, and we'll think, oh, he's the leader, so I want to be like him, I want to be a leader. But if we don't have kshatriya qualities, then artificially we try to be a leader, when we're not qualified, we just make a disturbance. We disturb others, and our mind will be disturbed also. So we have to find out what is our actual happy position. And then from there we can make progress. That's a fact. But if we're not rightly situated, then the mind will never allow us to progress. It'll always be disturbing. So either varna or ashram, either brahmachari, sannyasi, grihastha, vanaprastha, or sutra, these things are all there, kshatriya, brahman, for helping people to become progressive, to make progress, so that at the end of life they can devote themselves more and more to Krishna consciousness. The whole culture is like that, aiming in that direction. That's very scientific, and we should try to adapt it. We should try to take advantage of it. Why not take advantage of this nice culture and make progress? Okay? Bhagavatam ki.